to God in view of the inheritance that is ours. Secondly, thanks to God because He has fitted us for that inheritance. We are the heirs and we are going to possess that inheritance. And that's reason for thanksgiving. Third, we live in the joy of it. Verse 7 of chapter 2. And then our verse, the bond of fellowship is thanksgiving. Verse 15. You know, the grumbling spirit divides. That's no bond. Here we have thanksgiving. Be ye thankful. The bond of fellowship is thanksgiving. Then in chapter 17, thanksgiving is the joy of thanks living. And in chapter 4 in verse 2, we have the predominant note in prayer. Verse 2 of chapter 4, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I think it was Dr. Wilson who said he was visiting a dear saint of God who was sick. And he said, shall we have prayer? And the saint of God said, yes, mostly thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should mark our entire pathway in this wilderness world. I'll never forget a dear brother, I loved him. He used to go through the Psalms, and in every Psalm he found Christ, and I didn't find fault with him because throughout all Scriptures, Christ in all the Scriptures. But there was church trouble. And the poor fellow, reason left its throne. And he was committed. But in the city, there was a dear child of God who took pity on him and secured permission to take him out to her home. I was in her home many times. And then she'd bring him back again. She was the only one who had that privilege. It was Thanksgiving Day. And as she was taking him back to the institution, she said, John, you know what it is today? I don't care. Well, it's Thanksgiving Day. I don't anything to be thankful for. Well, listen. You come to my home and I'll take you back. But I want to have a little prayer with you. Get down on your knees. And John got on his knees. Now she said, think, isn't there anything that you can thank God for? Well, he said, the only thing in the world I can thank God for is you. Thank God then. And when John thanked God, for the sister beside him, the spell was broken. Then he began to thank God for salvation. Thank God for the hope. And dear John was delivered out of the prison in which he was finding himself into the full light of the sphere that we're talking about. Thanksgiving. If Israel had continued to thank God from the Red Sea all through the wilderness, what a different story it would have been. They murmured. They complained. They quarreled. That's not the background. God puts these figures on the background of peace that leads to thanksgiving. And what's the next characteristic of this background? The Word of Christ. Dwelling in you richly in all wisdom. Christ is the author and the subject of the Word of God. And is to find a home in our hearts, dwelling there richly. But what will be the outcome of this? We'll share what we know. Teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. The Word of God leads to joy and the heart singing. Singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. When I think back, I thank God for my childhood days. Every morning, my father would rise at 4 o'clock. I would get up at 5. He would be reading the Word of God and sing. Every morning, we had brethren visiting us. Brother Sheldrake and Brother McEwen. Brother Sheldrake came down one morning and told my father, he said, "You're a wealthy man, Mr. Pell." "Yes," he says, "I know." "Well," he said, "you know that you invested $400 in heaven this morning?" He said, "Is that so?" He said, "You know, you woke me up about 4 o'clock and I thought, I can't sleep anymore, I'll go and have my devotions, and I read Psalm 69. And it's a psalm that throbs with anguish and bitterness. But in it David says, 'I will sing unto the Lord, and this will please him more than a bullock that hath horns.' Now he figured out a bullock that hath horns would cost so much. Now you didn't give the Lord that bullock with horns, but you gave him a song. And you sang so many songs this morning. So you invested so much money in heaven." Brother McEwen was there. And he went to the Detroit conference after he'd been there. And I was there too. And he said, "You know, folks," he said, "I was in that Pell home, just like heaven there, no night. Bill Pell keeps you talking till 2 o'clock in the morning, and the old man wakes you up at 4 with his singing. There's no night there. Only the light of heaven." Singing. Singing with grace in your hearts. Now I'd like to say a little word about that next. To the Lord. Bill and I were called to a town in southern Michigan. And he said, "What you speaking on tonight?" I said, "I'm speaking on worship." Well, he said, "I'll see if I can find some songs in this hymn book that are to the Lord." That's worship. And we found many songs that were about the Lord. Hymns, spiritual songs. But you know, you have to go to the Little Flock or the Believer's Hymn Book to find a lot of songs to the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, Thou with joy we worship Thee. We know Thou hast redeemed us by dying on the tree. That's the song he's looking for. That's what he wants. We can sing gospel songs and thank God for the hymns we have, but in worship we must sing to the Lord. We had a dear brother. He loved the Lord too. But every Lord's Day he'd give out hymns 35. He loved the song. Christians go and tell of Jesus. He liked the swing of it. And he liked the song. And I got nowhere with him. Bill tried. He said, "Now listen, brother. This is a meeting for worship. And we have to give praise to the Lord. And our songs are to be directed to Him." And he said, "You know, in the back of the Believer's Hymn Book, you have a list. Now pick a song out of those songs of worship." Next Sunday, he gave out the same song. "Christians Go and Tell of Jesus." Bill got up. He says, "Well, brother, that's a lovely song to sing at the end of the meeting. So we'll wait till the end of the meeting and we'll sing your song." And during the meeting it was singing what? "Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, it doesn't say anything about a beautiful voice. It doesn't say anything about a nice tune. I bought Brother Ironside's Life over there, and I've been reading it. And Brother Ironside went into a worship meeting with one of his associates, and he said, "How'd you like the meeting?" "Well," he said, "it's quite different from what I'm accustomed to, but that singing. "Oh," he said, "did you think that was bad?" He said, "You should have heard that singing when they got to heaven." "To all our prayers and praises, Christ adds His sweet perfume. And love the censer censer raises these odors to consume." The tune didn't go to heaven. And all those cracked voices, and one a little lower than the other, and one little... No, you don't chop it, do you? You drag it. I like nice singing. But I'm awfully glad that the Lord will listen to singing that isn't nice. If it's unto Him. Unto Him. But then we have the name of Jesus. "Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And there's the other characteristic of the risen life. The peace of Christ ruling, the word of Christ indwelling, and the name of Jesus influencing, writing His name on all our actions. Our whole life will be in the savor of the burnt offering. And you expect me to give some illustrations out of my life. And I want to tell you how that there's a verse in this chapter that changed my life completely. Verse 23. "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now this evening, please God, we'll talk about the figures as we see them in this background of peace and joy and so on. I helped my father in the paper hanging and painting and decorating business, and I didn't like it at all. I wanted to be an artist. And one of the ladies we worked for was wealthy. And her wealth came through her painting and teaching. And on the side, she would give me lessons in art. And I wanted my folk to send me to an art school, but I was the oldest in the family, and so I started working when I was 12 years old. I helped my father, but I hated my work. I didn't find joy in it at all. And especially where we were working that day, the lady was kind of particular, and she would go after my father and see that it was put on right, and I said, "Dad, why don't you just put it up there and let her smooth it over herself?" And she'd come to see if I had enough paste on the paper, and accidentally on purpose, I shouldn't tell this, but accidentally on purpose, I'd get her hand, and then she'd have to go and wash it, and there's peace for a little while. So this morning I was reading, and my reading was in Colossians. I came to this verse. "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily." But that's absolutely impossible for me. My heart isn't in it. I'm glad when it rains and we can't paint. I'm glad when quitting time comes. I'm not doing this heartily. My heart isn't in it. All right, again. "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily." Put your heart into it. And then I finished it. "As to the Lord and not unto men." And I gave myself a preach. I said, "Peter Pale, if the Lord Jesus came to you this morning and told you to paper that room for him, would you do it?" "Yes, I would." "He did everything for me. Lord, you left heaven's glory. All for me. Would you do this for me?" "Yes." And that verse put joy into paper hanging and painting. And my wife, I'm a little confused this morning. My father said to me, "Peter, you'll never get another job until you enjoy this one." And so I thought I was doomed for life. I would never like pasting and papering, and the dust of it gave me sinus trouble. I thought it came from that anyhow. And painting, I hated the smell of paint. And to enjoy doing that, never! But you know, this verse changed my life. Bill and I would trudge through snow, get off the interurban, and snow so high, and I'd say, "Bill, it's for the Lord." Putting up the tent, "Bill, it's for the Lord." Hanging paper, "For the Lord." Obeying the call of President Wilson, "For the Lord." "Whatsoever you do, the cook in the kitchen or the preacher in the pulpit, Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. It puts delight into drudgery. And the wife says, I'll obey you, my dear husband, because you love me, but I'm obeying you because the Lord tells me to do it. And the child says, I'll do what you want me to do, mother, because the Lord tells me to do it. When I was in Pittsburgh, had a big meeting of businessmen and a breakfast, and they wanted me to speak. And they didn't want sermons. They wanted businessmen who had some experience to tell in connection with their business. And I said to this brother, how am I going to fit into that group? Well, he says, I don't know. You'll have to do it yourself. I'm taking you there. And so I started my message by saying that I worked for a man called Woodrow Wilson. And that's how I started it. And I preached on this verse, whatsoever ye do. And a brother came to me later on. He said, Peter, he said, I'm a businessman. And I had headache after headache. I had a group of girls working for me. And I used to go home all tired out. Make it hard for my wife. And for myself. I didn't have peace. I didn't have joy. And I thought surely that I'd get ulcers and after a while nervous frustration. I was headed for it. You know, after you spoke that morning, I looked at those girls and said, you can't disturb my peace. Come with your problems. I'm here for the Lord. We've had on Friday nights a group, Roman Catholics, drug chasers. Two of the boys at least were just, one was chased out of the house and the other fellow, the police didn't go after him anymore. He said, we won't lock him in jail. He's going to die after a while anyhow. Leave him alone. But God saved them. One Roman Catholic fellow, he worked for Burger King. And so somebody asked him, they said, Tim Donahue was his name. Tim, what did you do today? He said, I made 18 hamburgers for the Lord. I thought, well, at least a little of my message soaked in. I made 18 hamburgers for the Lord. I didn't feel like preaching a sermon this morning, and I didn't, did I? If you get nothing else but that verse, whatsoever ye do, but listen, of the Lord you will receive what? Who's going to pay you? I closed my Bible too soon. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Did you ever hear this expression? Are you in full-time service? I want to tell you that you should never use that. Who do you serve the rest of the time, please? Every Christian is in full-time service. Whatsoever ye do, knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Lord, for obedience. Christ is his millennial term. Messiah. And the reward for service now will be realized in the kingdom by and by. I'm going to close 4 minutes early this morning. A little bit tired. Don't forget my text. Whatsoever you do, behind the wheel, in the kitchen, in the office, let us keep busy. Brother Little Proud got me to give the illustrations for the manual. And I said to him, but I don't use illustrations. He said, I know that. I listened to you. You had a great big wall there. You had Darby, you had Telly, you had all this, and your theology was all right, but you didn't have a single window. So your job is to get the illustrations for the manual. He said, that's how we learn. By illustrations. And so, I've been giving the illustrations. And I believe that that's the way the Lord taught. He stated, he illustrated, and he applied. He stated, Christians should not worry. He illustrated, birds don't worry. Flowers don't worry. And if you did worry, if you're a Zacchaeus, by enough worrying you'll be Saul, the son of Kish. And then after he gives these illustrations showing how worthless worry is, then he applied it. Be ye careful for nothing. Careful for nothing. Prayerful in everything. Thankful for anything. And that's the secret of a happy life. Shall we pray?